Stallone. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your mercy and love toward us. Thank you for your compassions toward us. Thank you for your grace that is sufficient for us. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your peace and joy and happiness that fills our hearts always. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the victories and dominion you have given to us over all darkness and their works. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for destroying the works of the enemy that were fashioned against us. Thank you for giving us the power to possess our possessions. Thank you for always answering our prayers. Thank you, Father. Thank you for glorifying your name in our lives. Thank you for honoring your name in our lives. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for making impossible things possible in our lives and situations. Thank you for your presence, even the presence of your Holy Spirit within us and around us. Thank you for the guidance of your Holy Spirit in our lives. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for great things you have in store for us. Great blessings, great miracles, great interventions that you have in store for us. Thank you, Lord. We are here this morning to seek your face, to pray, to learn at your feet, to call upon your name in faith. O Lord, hear us from your throne. Be merciful unto us this morning. Let your heavens be opened over this meeting. Let your power touch our lives. Let your name be forever praised. Thank you, Father, for we know you're going to do beyond our expectations. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. I welcome you to the Lord's presence. We're going to conclude with our teaching on on Isaiah 53. So today we're going to be looking at the last verse in Isaiah 53. Open your Bibles to Isaiah 53. Verse 12. Isaiah 53, verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Praise the Lord. So today we're going to be looking at understanding Jesus in Isaiah 53, part 10. We're going to be looking at 4 points. Point number one says death. A gate to life eternal. Death. A gate to eternal life. Death. A gate to life eternal. In that verse that I've just read, it says that, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. It's talking about the rewards that God gave Jesus. But as at the time when this verse was written, Jesus had not yet come into the world. This prophecy was written hundreds of years, I think over 400 years before Jesus was born. Yeah, so this verse, Isaiah 53 verse 12, is talking about the reward that God would give Jesus after he would have been born and after he would have died. Yeah. So here, God was saying, I would divide him a portion with the great. That is, I'll give him the honors of warriors. Yeah, the kind of honor or authority or rank or title or benefits that warriors get after they have conquered a lot of battles. And God said here that I would divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Yeah. We know that warriors or soldiers, they get spoils after they have conquered their enemies. So they take all the treasures of the enemies as their own. They call it spoils of war. All the possessions of the enemy, all their properties, they claim everything after they have conquered the enemy nations. So they take all that is this as spoils of war. Yeah, so here God is saying Jesus would have all these things. That Jesus would have spoils of war because he's going to conquer his enemies. Yeah, and not only that, Jesus would be exalted. He would be given a rank, a very high rank, a promotion, an authority, a dominion. Yeah. So in all of these prophecies came to pass eventually. If you're a Bible student, you will see all of it happened in the New Testament. Yeah, so, but I said point number one says gate. A gate to life eternal. Yeah, that's the first point we are looking at. Gate. A gate to life eternal. Now, if you look at the other part in this verse, it went further to say, because he has now God was promising Jesus in this book of Isaiah a lot of rewards after he would have died. So imagine somebody promising you a lot of rewards and then you are supposed to get those rewards after you have died. Yeah. It wouldn't make sense to some people. But it does make a lot of sense when this prophecy came to pass in the New Testament, because this is Old Testament. It eventually made a lot of sense. But while this prophecy was given through Isaiah, it wouldn't really make sense to whoever is reading it. Yeah, because here it says that he would have all these rewards because he had poured out his soul unto death. Now, in the same way, we Christians, we only have a life through the same deed that Jesus experienced or went through. Yeah, that was why I said there a gate to life eternal. Now, we need to understand what kind of death. What kind of death? Death is a gain to eternal life. Am I referring to physical death? When somebody stopped breathing, or when somebody's heart stopped beating? Is that what I'm referring to here? Of course not. Yeah, let us look at 2 Corinthians 4:11-12. 2 Corinthians 4:11-12. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Verse 12. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. Praise the Lord. Here, Apostle Paul was saying that him and his missionary team have always been delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in their mortal bodies, in their mortal flesh. What does that mean? It means they are being faced with death because of the calling of Jesus on their lives. They have come to the point where they are no longer afraid of physical death. They no longer fear physical death. Why? Because they have died. They have actually died to this world. They have died to the desires of their flesh. They have died to the lust of their flesh, to the pride in their flesh. Yeah, so they don't really care about physical death because they're already dead to themselves. So they believe that whatever life they live here on earth is not to be lived for themselves, but to be lived for Jesus. So that was why he said, death is walking in us, but life in you. That is, they are always dying to themselves. And as they do that, life is coming out of them to bless the people they minister to. So death is working in them in the sense that they are always dying to everything they're always dying to everything that is of this world, everything that is of of the human nature, they are always dying. So to the point that they don't even care if anyone healed them physically. Yeah, because they are already dead to everything in this world. Now, if you ask people out there, what are you living for? Yeah, what is your ambition in life? What is your purpose in life? What are you living for? Yeah, many people would mention different kind of things. Yeah. So if you as a Christian, you have died to everything human beings would naturally live for, yeah, if you as a Christian, you are dead to everything most people are living for, so which means you are not living for those things anymore. You are dead to them. Those things they are also dead to you. They mean nothing to you. Yeah, then it means that concerning those things, you are a dead man. When it comes to those things, you are a dead person. Yeah, because every other people, they live for those things. But you no longer live for those things. Yeah, so in the realm of those things, you are dead. You are not alive. Yeah, so which means you are as good as physically dead when it comes to those things. You are as good as physically dead. Yeah, because they no longer mean anything to you. Yeah, so that is the case with these men in Second Corinthians chapter 4 that we have read. That was the case with them. Yeah, so they had died to everything that is of this world, to everything human beings would naturally live for. They are dead to those things. And because of that, they don't fear death anymore. Yeah, because you fear death, or maybe I should say people fear death because they are living for the things of this world and for themselves. That is why people are afraid of dying. Yeah, because they want to continue to enjoy the things in this world. But for someone who is dead to the things of this world, dead to themselves, to their lust, to their cravings, their passions, those people, they don't really care about, or maybe I should use the word, they are not scared of death. Yeah, they don't fear death anymore. Yeah, because they no longer live for themselves. Yeah, so now in verse 12, Second Corinthians 4, verse 12. It says, so then death walketh in us, but life in you. So these men, are always dying. So death is working in them. And because of that, life is coming out of them. In that verse 11, it says that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So death is working in them, and that death is producing life, such that their ministries radiate life. Yeah, life is coming out of them. So they began to experience eternal life, even in their physical bodies. They began to experience eternal life because they have poured out their souls to death, just like Jesus did. Just the way Jesus also poured out his soul unto death and handed over himself to be crucified. So also these people, they have poured out their souls unto death. And because of that, life began to rise from within them. And even their physical bodies begin to radiate the life of God, the eternal life. Yeah, so death is a gate to life eternal. If you can embrace the lifestyle of death, you definitely will reap eternal life. You will begin to enjoy eternal life right here on earth before you go up to heaven. You will begin to enjoy life eternal even in your earthly body, because you have embraced a life of death. You have poured out your soul unto death. That is, you have laid down your life for Christ. So you no longer live for yourself. Now you are saying, Jesus, do with me, do with my life as you want. Do to me whatever you want. That was the kind of life those people in 2 Corinthians 4, 2 Corinthians 4, that was the life they were living. I'm referring to Apostle Paul and his missionary team. These were men that have laid down their lives for Jesus. So they are literally dead to this world and to themselves. So they don't care being killed the next day, because they have laid down their lives anyway. Yeah, they have surrendered their lives anyway. So they don't care even if they have been physically killed the following day. Yeah. So if we Christians begin to live like this, we are going to reap eternal life from here on earth. We will start enjoying eternal life. So which means even your physical bodies will begin to radiate the glory of God. When people come in contact with you, they begin to receive life. They begin to see life coming out of you, glory coming out of you, light coming out of you. Yeah. So if we allow death to walk in us, that is, you are dead to everything that is unclean, dead to sin, dead to unrighteousness, dead to the works of the flesh, dead to worldliness, dead to pride, dead to lust, dead to everything that is dark. If we embrace the life of death, definitely we are going to reap eternal life. Yeah, and we are going to see the glory of God from here on earth. I pray that you will do this in Jesus' name. I pray that you will let death to walk in you. If ministers of God allow death to walk in them, they are going to have a very glorious ministry. They are going to have a very powerful ministry, because life will be coming out of everything they do for God, since death is working in them. Power, glory will be flowing out of them excessively, without measure, if they can embrace a lifestyle of death. I pray that you will do this in Jesus' name. So we are going to move to point number 2. Point number 2. Then, the key to great eternal rewards. The key to great eternal rewards. If we allow death to walk in us, we are going to reap great eternal reward. Now let us read that Isaiah 53 verse 12 again. Isaiah. Isaiah 53. Verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Yeah, God said, I will divide him a portion with the great. Why? Because he has poured out his soul unto death. Because he has poured out his soul unto death. So if we let death walk in us, God would divide for us greatness. God will give you greatness. He will give you greatness. I believe you know that God is the one that lifts up people and set them on high places. God is the one that enthrones kings, and He's the one that dethrones them. He's the one that gives people whatever they have. The Bible says, no man can receive a thing except it is given him from above. So God is the one that gives greatness to whoever have it today, whether they are believers or unbelievers. No one can receive anything if it hasn't been approved, or if it wasn't approved from above. No one can receive anything. So if we follow this sacrificial life of Jesus, if we allow death to walk in us, greatness is sure. In fact, God is always in a haste to make such people great. Men who are dead to this world. Men who are dead to the lost in this world, to the pride in this world. God is always in a haste to make them great. Why? Because God will be glorified through their lives. Since such men, they are already dead to themselves and are no longer living for themselves. So God will be glorified through their lives. That is why God is always in a haste to make such people great. Because they have defeated darkness. I have said it before. I have said it before that the real darkness is not Satan. The real darkness is not demons, is not powers and principalities. The real darkness is self. S-E-L-F. Self. Just like we can say you, yourself. That is the real darkness. Not witches and wizards. Not witchcraft. Not princes of darkness. Not principalities or powers. Not Satan. But self. As in you, yourself, me, myself. That is the real darkness. Yeah, and if you look at the scripture, you will see that what brought down Satan was this same self. Is this self that brought Satan down? He wanted to exalt himself above God. Yeah. He wanted to create his own kingdom. Now, because he doesn't want to follow God's rules anymore. Yeah, so we should think of what brought him down. Is that not greater than Satan himself? What brought Satan down is greater than Satan himself. Yeah, so self brought down Satan and all the fallen angels. They prefer themselves above the will of God. They prefer to please themselves above to do the will of God. So it is themselves, it is that self that brought them down from glory. And that self is the real darkness. Is the real darkness. And the human version of self, which that is your body, the Bible calls it flesh. Your flesh. Not the physical version of self. The cravings of your body, the lust in your body. Yeah, if you can defeat that, you have defeated all darkness. And not only that, deep down in your soul, your ambition, your ego, your pride, if you can defeat that, you have defeated all darkness. The hatred, the bitterness, the hunger, the greed, the hypocrisy. If you can defeat that, you have defeated all darkness. Yeah, so men who have allowed the Holy Spirit to destroy all this darkness that is inside human beings, that is inside them, they are usually being promoted by God into greatness. Men who have allowed death to walk in them, men who have put to death self and flesh, they are usually being promoted by God into greatness. So if you want greatness, follow this ancient biblical standard. If you want greatness, follow this standard I'm showing you now. And you'll be sure that you'll be great in Jesus' name. Let us read Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 to 11. Philippians 2:7-11. But made himself of no reputation. These verses are referring to Jesus. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So you can see how God promoted Jesus, but he paid the price for the promotion. He made himself of no reputation. He humbled himself. He was obedient unto death. He had all the power to stop himself from being arrested or killed. But he suspended those powers that he had. And he willingly, deliberately offered his soul to death. Do you know what it means to have power to do something, and yet you refuse to use that power? It's different from you having no power. Yeah, so it's a great sacrifice to do that. I know what it means. It's a great sacrifice. You know you have the power to fight, and yet you suspended that power and allowed worse things to happen to you. That was the kind of heart that Jesus had. He reduced himself to nothing, to zero, till he was killed and buried. And then God showed up. The Bible says, therefore, God also hath highly exalted him. Praise the Lord. So if you want God to exalt you, you must follow this path Jesus followed. You must follow the same path. You must have the same heart. You must have the same mind. This is how to be exalted by God. There is no other way. The way up is the way down. That's how it is in the kingdom. In the kingdom of God, to go up is to go down. To become the greatest is to become zero. To become nothing. Do you know what it means to become zero? I pray that God will teach you what it means to become zero. I pray he will teach you in Jesus' name. Do you know what I mean by zero? Nothing. You reduce yourself to zero. Forgetting and forsaking whatever you are, or whatever you think you are, or whatever people call you. May the Lord teach you what it means to become zero and to become nothing. Now let's move to the third point. Point number three, Jesus is still bearing things. Jesus is still bearing our sins. And don't forget that verse, Isaiah 53 verse 12, said that he bears our sins, and that he makes intercession for us. Let me read it again. Isaiah 53, verse 12. Let me read that part. And he was numbered with the transgressors. I'm reading only that part that is connected to this third point. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. So even today, he is still bearing sins. He's still bearing sins. Let us look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 to 10. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Praise the Lord. So you can see that Jesus is still bearing sins, because we still sin. Yeah, we still sin. Even though we are not supposed to continue in sinning, but people still sin. Yeah, and that was why the writer here said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, this is referring to people who have not been freed from their sins, and they know it. They know that sin is still dominating their lives. They know it. Now, so if you discover that you still sin, there is still hope for you to be free from that sin. So today, unbelievers still sin, and even believers, in quotes, still sin. Yeah, and Jesus wants to save us from our sins. Yeah, even though we are not supposed to continue in sin. Now, if you look at other verses in this place, you will see that that there are different categories of people in the church. This book of 1 John was written to different categories of people in the church, because the man of God that wrote this has experience. It was Apostle John that wrote this part of the Bible. He has experience. At the time he was writing this portion of the Bible, he was already a very old man. So he has experience about the church and about people in the church. So he knows that there are different categories of people in the church. He knows there are people who, though they say they are Christians, they still go to church, but they still sin. They still live in sin. That was why I was telling them that if those kind of people say they have no sin, that they deceive themselves. Yeah, so we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Yeah. But now, when he was writing to other categories, let us see what this man wrote. I mean, the man that wrote this book, when he was writing to other categories of people in the church concerning this same issue of sin, you're going to see what he said. Let me open to that place. 1 John. The same 1 John. I'm going to read from verse 6. I'm sorry, 1 John chapter 3. You know, the one I just read, or the one we've just read, is 1 John chapter 1 from verse 8 to 10. That is referring to some categories of so-called Christians that are still living in sin, but Jesus still wants to save them. Now, here is another category. 1 John chapter 3. Don't forget, it's still the same book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. Now, I'm going to read from verse 6. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Can you hear that? Whosoever abideth in him, whosoever abide in Jesus, whosoever is a Christian, real Christian, sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. So if you sin, it means you don't know him, you don't know God, and you have no relationship with him. Now, verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. That is, even as Jesus is righteous. Verse 8. He that committed sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, this is where it gets very interesting. Verse 9. 1 John 3, verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Now, can you see that? Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. So, those that are really born of God, real, genuine Christian, they don't sin. That is, they don't deliberately sin against God. And they don't make the habit of sinning. Number one, they don't deliberately sin against God. They don't willingly sin against God. And they don't continue in sin. Yeah. He said, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. So he cannot can't just think of doing it. Yeah, like some of you still think of doing something that is wrong. And some of you still want to do what is wrong. It means you are not born of God yet. When you are really born of God, you cannot sin. It will be impossible to sin. Very impossible. You will not want to do it. And you will not do it. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So this part was written to another category of people in the church, which are those whose hearts are really after God, which I suppose you are. Yeah, but let's say you find yourself in the category of the first one. The category in 1 John chapter 1 verse 8 to 10. If you find yourself, you still find yourself in that category, what does the Bible say you should do? Let us read it again. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, yeah, so you have to confess your sins. You have to confess your sins. Forsake it. Repent of your sins. And Jesus will forgive you and He will cleanse you. He will forgive you. He will cleanse you. He will even empower you if you pray enough. It will empower you to not sin anymore. Yeah. So I realize that many Christians still fall under this category. The nature of sin in them still controls their lives. That is why Jesus still bears our sins. Because He still wants to save us from our sins. And you should let Him save you from your sins. Let Jesus deliver you from your sins by confessing them and repenting and forsaking those sins. Now, don't deceive yourself. It says we deceive ourselves. Don't deceive yourself. Go to God for cleansing. Repent. If you have to repent one by one, keep mentioning those sins you are guilty of and keep repenting one by one. Say, Lord, this particular one, I turn away. I won't do it anymore. This other one, I turn away. And then write them down. Write down the deed and write down the sin you are repenting from. Say, on this very day, I repent from this one. On this date, I repent from this one. I'm crossing it in my book, and I'm not coming back to this again. This will not repeat itself again in my life. And then you make that vow to God. And then you make up your mind. Jesus will then cleanse you and give you the grace to stand in righteousness. Let us move to the last point. Point number four. Jesus is still interceding for mankind. Jesus is still interceding for mankind. Hebrews 7 verse 24 to 27. Hebrews 7 24 to 27. But this man, because he continued ever, had an unchangeable priesthood. Yeah, the writer was referring to Jesus. Because Jesus continued to live on. Though he was killed, he rose again. And he continued to live on. Yeah, verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Verse 26. Hebrews 7. 26. For such an high priest became ours, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. 27. Who needeth not daily high priest to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. So Jesus is the greatest high priest in the sense that, number one, he is eternal, he is immortal. All the former high priests, they were mortal men, they died. We know their graves. But Jesus died and rose up and continued to live on. And then number two, Jesus offered himself as the sacrifice. Those high priests in the Old Testament, they offered animals as sacrifices. And in fact, they will first of all offer sacrifice for their own sins, before they will offer for the sins of the people. But Jesus offered himself as the sacrifice. And he had no sin. So he wasn't offering any sacrifice for himself. He became the sacrifice. And that sacrifice was to take away the sins of the world, of mankind. Yeah, what a powerful high priest. And not only that, Jesus offered his own sacrifice once and for all. Unlike the high priest have to do their own once a year, Jesus offered his own once and for all. And from that time, he continued to intercede for us based on that, on the sacrifice of his life, of his blood, of his body. He continued to use that sacrifice to intercede for us in heaven every day. As I'm talking to you right now, Jesus is in the temple in heaven, interceding for us, interceding for you, interceding for me, interceding for every nation of the earth, interceding for every country, every tribe, every tongue, every language. That is, people from every language, every tongue. And not only that, he's interceding for Christians, for churches all over the world. That is what he's doing right now. He's interceding for us. And it is because of his intercession that the church is still alive today and is still standing. It is also because of his intercession that we can pray to God in the name of Jesus, or we can pray to God in his name and God will answer us. It is because he is interceding for us. Yeah, that is why we can pray for healing and sickness will disappear. That is why we can cast out devils and devils will run away. It is because Jesus is still interceding for us. If he stops that intercession, we are gone. We are doomed forever. Yeah. So what a beautiful high priest. What a loving high priest that is always making intercession for us. Yeah, I told you of a story or of a testimony of a woman of God who said she was taken to heaven and Jesus told her that he is not praying for us to get miracles, to get healing, to get the deliverance. Yeah, Jesus told her that he's not here interceding for Christians to get healing, miracles, deliverance, blessings, prosperity. He said he has already given all of that to us for free. So he said, the only prayer he's praying here is that our faith will not fail. He said that's the prayer he's praying for Christians, for the church, that our faith will not fail. That your faith will not fail. So even today, I want to ask you, has your faith failed? Is your faith still alive or is dead? Yeah, because everything has been given to us already. But we still suffer. Isn't it? Christians still suffer. Christians still experience oppression, afflictions, problems, and all sorts of negative things. This means that we are the causes of these things. We are the ones bringing these things upon ourselves. Because we have shown to demonstrate little faith. I mean, we have chosen to demonstrate little faith or no faith. So we are making the intercession of Jesus to not produce results. And not only that, we are making the sacrifice of Jesus to go in vain. Everything Jesus has given to us, we are making all of that a waste by not trusting in Jesus. It's either we are not trusting in him at all, or we are not trusting in him enough. So through our own belief and doubt and fear, we multiply our own sorrows and we multiply our own afflictions and sufferings. When God was expecting you to take certain steps and decisions by faith, you still refuse to take those steps. And yet you are expecting that your life will move forward. Of course not. It won't. Yeah. So when I heard the testimony of that woman of God, I now begin to understand why God will bless some Christians and God will not bless some others. Because the faith of many of us have failed. I pray that your faith will not fail. In Jesus' name, I pray that the intercession of Jesus will be evident in your life through victories and successes in Jesus' name. So we're going to pray. I'm going to pray some prayer points before I will pray for you and pray on your water. I want you to talk to the Lord. Just three prayer points. Talk to the Lord. You're going to say, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that eternal life comes through dying to this world, dying to sin, dying to flesh, dying to self. Say, Lord Jesus, help me to die to these things. Open your mouth and pray. So, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that life, real life, comes through death to self, death to sin, death to the flesh, death to unrighteousness, death to worldliness, death to all forms of lust. The Lord help me to embrace this death lifestyle. Help me to die. Help me to die to all these things. Continue to talk to him. Give me the willingness to die to these things. The willingness to die to the lust of the flesh, to the pride of life. The willingness to die to the lust of the eyes. The willingness to die to worldliness. Say, Jesus, give me that willingness. Give me that heart that is ready to crucify, to mortify everything that is carnal, that is worldly, that is of the flesh, that is of sin. Give me the heart that don't spare these things. Give me the heart that kills these things. Help me, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, we are praying. Amen. You're going to pray. If you want the anointing to be so much in your life, if you want the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be so excess in your life, you must embrace this dead lifestyle. That is how to have unlimited flow of the anointing. So you are going to pray. You're going to say, Lord Jesus, help me to crucify, fleshly desires in my life so that your anointing can increase in my life and fill up my life. Open your mouth and pray like that. Lord Jesus, help me to crucify, help me to kill fleshly desires that are in me so that your anointing can increase, so that your anointing can fill up my life. Help me to crucify fleshly desires. Help me to crucify the works of the flesh. So that you can make use of me for great and mighty things in these last days. So that your anointing can multiply my life. So that your anointing can produce great victories in my life. Help me to crucify fleshly desires, carnal desires, in the name of Jesus. Help me, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. You are going to pray. You're going to say, Lord Jesus, release into my life all the benefits of your sacrifice on the cross and your intercession in heaven. Say, Lord Jesus, release into my life all the benefits of your sacrifice on the cross and your intercession in heaven for me. Your sacrifice for me, your intercession for me, release all the benefits into my life right now. Open your mouth and pray like that. Release the benefit. The benefit of your intercession for me. The benefit of your sacrifice for me. The benefit of your death and resurrection. Lord Jesus, release those benefits into my life. Release into my body, release into my soul, release into my spirit. Right now, in the name of Jesus, release the benefit of your sacrifice for me and your intercessions for me. Release them now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. I'm going to pray for you now. Father, we thank you for you are so faithful. Thank you for everything you have opened our eyes to see in the book of Isaiah 53. From the first verse till the last verse. Thank you for showing us the wonderful things, the beautiful things Jesus did for us. Thank you, Father. Thank you for also showing us today the power of death in bringing great rewards and in bringing life eternal. I ask, O Lord, that you help everyone here to understand the truth about all that you require from us. The truth about the kind of lifestyle you require from us. Christians, from us believers. Oh Lord, help everyone here to understand that truth in the name of Jesus. I ask that you open the eyes of your people to see how much they stand to gain if they deliberately and lay down their lives, if they deliberately surrender their lives to live for you and for you alone. Oh Lord, open the eyes of your people to see these things, even now, in the name of Jesus. I ask that everyone that is repenting of certain sins in their lives this morning, everyone that is confessing their sins and turning away from their sins, oh Lord, show them mercy. Forgive their sins. In the name of Jesus, forgive their sins. In the name of Jesus, and cleanse everyone here from their sins, as many that are repenting, as many that are turning away from their sins. Oh Lord, cleanse everyone in the blood of Jesus, and give everyone the power to live holy in your sight, in the name of Jesus. I ask that you touch the waters your people have placed before you right now. Oh Lord, touch these waters. Bless these waters with your fire. with your healing power, with your deliverance power, with your reviving power. Right now, in Jesus' name, let the power of the Holy Ghost possess your water right now, in the name of Jesus. And let the Holy Spirit use this water to do great works in your life, in your bodies, in your souls, in your spirit, right now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen.